Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living. You're listening now to the Honest to God series with Ann Gail Rose and Ahanu.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show today. We have a wonderful, wonderful guest coming on the show today, Ambika Waters, who is a classical homeopath, and Ahanu will be telling you more about her in just a few minutes. I just want to give you the call-in number if anyone's wanting to call in. The number is 805-292-0349. That's 805-292-0349. And I'm just sitting here in my rocker. Ahanu's got a nice fire lit for us, and it's a little cloudy and chilly out here in Hendersonville, North Carolina, but we'll live, won't we?
Well, we still have that feeling of springtime. We're looking out the window, and there's beautiful red cardinals and American robins at the feeder.
That's certainly that beautiful
feeling of springtime.
That's true, there is, and I think I'm going to have you take me out to lunch after this show.
But certainly we will do that. Now, we have a fantastic guest with us today. We will introduce her in a few minutes, but just to give you a little brief introduction to her at this point in time, she's a director of the Institute of Life Energy Medicine. She's a classically trained homeopath. She's certified by the Council of Homeopathic Certification, and she's a member of the Society of Homeopaths. She received her diploma in homeopathic medicine from the School of Homeopathic Medicine in the United Kingdom, and she was a member of the Society of Homeopaths in the UK up until 1998 before she returned to her home in Tucson, Arizona. So we want to talk to her about all these things when she comes live with us in just a few moments. But before we do go there, I just want to give you a little bit of a reminder. And I'm actually opening a packet here right now. You might hear the rustle of the plastic of our first ever Spirit of Love T-shirt. It's the Spirit of Love of the United States of America. And it's branded onto a T-shirt, long sleeve or short sleeve, any color you like. And you'll be able to get them from my website at ahanu.com. Now, this Spirit of Love of the United States of America is very, very special. And the reason is because it's a unifying image of the Spirit of Love of the United States of America. It's a dynamic representation of this nation's union with the divine, the qualities of our citizens, our government, our policies, values, and our free way of life. And the image is full of peace, harmony, joy, success, prosperity, and abundance for all our people. And it extends these qualities beyond our nation's past, present, and future. In fact, eternally thriving in our highest outcome of expansion of consciousness, material progress, and advanced spiritual evolution for all. So it's made up of all the colors in harmony, ensuring physical health, balance, maturity, and spiritual unity. And I'd love if you could see it, because it's almost an official-looking image, isn't it, Angela Rose?
Yes, we have a car magnet made of it. We have it on our car, and we look like we're an official government vehicle, which I find quite amusing.
It is amusing because it really isn't an official government image at all. It's surrounded by high-frequency gold, and it has an inner band of gemstones. It represents really the prosperity of the land and all the people, and everybody flourishing and thriving in equal measure. And inside that protective circle are encompassed all the indigenous peoples, all the nationalities that make up the collective spirit that is our United States of America.
And where can they see that? They can see an image of that on your website, can't they?
They can if they go to ahanu.com/gallery. And you click on the Spirit of Love icon, and you can actually find the Spirit of Love of the United States of America on there. And I will be actually preparing the Spirit of Love of numerous countries, and Ireland is the next one to come.
I'm still waiting, Ahanu.
Well, it's going to come in time for St. Patrick's Day, which is going to be a great show too, because we have a gentleman by the name of Kevin O'Kelly, who's... What is he? He's a spiritual guide.
He's a pilgrim guide. pilgrimage tour guide.
He's a tour guide. Yes. And he's going to be guiding us on our mystical and sacred sites tour of Ireland from the 9th to the 21st of June.
That's right, but he will be on the show on St. Patrick's Day, which is the perfect day. He will be coming on and talking to us about the sacred sites and his a little bit of his vast knowledge that he has on this topic. And couldn't have a better person. So if you didn't listen to that show, go into our archives on blogtalkradio.com/Art of Living Well and look under the Honest to God series. So if you miss it on St. Patrick's Day, you'll be able to listen to it after the fact. But yes. Anyone, too, who's interested in our tour, we're having this mystical tour of Ireland on June 9th through the 21st. And we will need to know if there's interest in that trip fairly soon, won't we, Hannah?
We will. And we will have a website up shortly where people can actually register online. But if they want more information about it in the meantime, they can contact us on your website, which is angelrose.com. In fact, your email address is angelrose@angelrose.com. I'll spell that out. It's AINGEALROSE. That's angelrose@angelrose.com. Now, speaking of Ireland, and we're going to be talking also about homeopathy today, we had some fantastic times in Belfast at the Belfast School of Homeopathy. Can you remember your first impression of that city?
Well, it was a little war-torn, I have to say, when you took me into Belfast. I was a bit surprised. In fact, where the school was located was right in the heat of some of that war and destruction.
The troubles, call the troubles, yes.
But they've done a wonderful job in transforming that particular building into a school of homeopathy with all sorts of positive things. So we, wonderful people there, wonderful group of people. We didn't continue our course basically because we moved and it was a bit too far for us to travel at the time. But certainly Belfast is an eye-opener, I have to say.
It is, and there are parts of it that are still war-torn. But you know what I was very impressed about was the fact that just the School of Homeopathy alone, it's like as if the energy of the homeopaths there or the principle of homeopathy was radiating out into the surrounding city and was actually helping to transform the area and the people. Didn't you find that?
Yeah, I hope. Yeah,
and
it feels that way.
We hope to talk to Ambika Waters about some of that today. And another little point about Ambika is that she's the author of 20 books on chakras, homeopathy, and the realm of angels. And we've actually done some work also on angels, archangels, and ascended masters. We have a little ebook, in fact, that people can order from our website at ahanu.com, ahonu.com. Now, her work, Ambika's work, is translated into over 10 languages, and she's currently writing about healing martyrdom. I want to ask her today about that.
Oh, that sounds that's very interesting,
big,
all right.
That's a big subject.
Based on the way I feel today, that might be just what I need.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know what you need? She has developed a homeopathic libido stimulant.
Oh, that's what I need.
Yes, well, now, she's actually working on one for men as well. We're going to be asking her about all these things today. And I believe that these are the first commercial homeopathic preparations for natural sexual function.
That's a huge victory. It really is.
It really is.
Yes, it is.
So shall we go ahead and bring Ambika?
Let's bring Ambika on.
Hi.
Good morning, Ambika.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So happy to have you on today. Thanks for coming
on. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I love your enthusiasm about homeopathy. That's very exciting.
Well, I got into it actually when I was younger. I was raising my children, and I kept having a daughter who kept having strep throat, and I thought I was going to the library to get a book on naturopathy, and it turns out I picked up a book on homeopathy instead and didn't even realize the mistake until months later, but of course, that was divine intervention for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful medicine.
It is. So could you tell us a little bit, I mean, we've already prefaced you just a bit, but could you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and what you're working on, and then perhaps if you could explain homeopathy to the people who still don't really understand what it is, that would be great.
Sure. I'm a classical homeopath, which is a form of homeopathy that's really devoted to tapping the depths of a person's constitution. We work physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually to bring balance back into the organism in the best possible way we can. And we do believe that most disease and dysfunction is the result of either emotional suppression or genetic predisposition. So we treat at both levels, which I think is important. I think we all come into this life with a load of genetic garbage, for want of a better word, that leads us, often will lead us down a path of ill health, and it can be removed. And that includes cancer, heart disease, diabetes, mental illness, and addictions. Those are really the things that can ruin people's lives and make it very hard for them to develop enough will to overcome those things in their life. So I think homeopathy, one of the greatest gifts of homeopathy is the ability to detoxify genetic predisposition in the cell structure itself so that people are not obsessive about their health and that they've got a better opportunity to find their health and vitality. So that's done, homeopathy is done through giving what we call the minimal dose. And the minimal dose is based on remedies that come from plant, animal, and mineral substance. Substance being the organic thing that you have in front of you, be it a plant or a mineral or animal matter. And that is taken in a solution, usually put into a solution or triturated dry, and then one drop of that will be put into 10 drops of alcohol and shaken, and then one drop of that will be put into 10 more drops of alcohol and shaken, and those 10 drops are known as the X or decimal potency. So when we talk about a remedy being a 6X, it means it's been diluted 6 times in 10 drops of alcohol. If it's a 6C, that's the centesimal potency, it means it's been diluted 6 times in 100 drops of alcohol. And those potencies go from 1X, which means one time in 10 drops of alcohol, to 100,000 dilutions. And
the higher it goes, the more potent it is.
The higher it goes, the more potent it is, but the less substance there is. And past the 12th dilution, there is no longer molecular substance, which drives the scientists absolutely bonkers, as they say in the UK. And,
can you spend a moment explaining that, Ambika? Because it is the one prime objection that people do have about homeopathy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it defies what we know as the scientific principle. It means less. When we say less is more, we're not joking. Less is more.
Right.
And it less is more because what you deal with when you move away from substance, when you dilute and dilute and come away from substance, what you are left with is the energetic quintessential pattern of a substance. And we say water remembers. Most of our remedies are made in water. Some of the hard minerals don't break down in water easily. They're harder to make as remedies. But most, I would say 90% of our remedies are made in water. And water remembers. It carries the quintessential energetic pattern of a substance in it, not necessarily in a molecular form, but in an energetic pattern. And one of the ways, as a student, that I saw this, the first time I saw this, it just dazzled me. We have these bottles of stock remedies that are kept in 98% ethanol alcohol. And you can take arnica, for instance, and pour it, and it will drop very quickly. And you can take arsenicum, which is another remedy, and it'll drop very slowly. Then you could take bryonia, another remedy, and it'll have its own little pattern of pouring out of the bottle. And when you see this, that each substance pours differently, suddenly you start to grasp what this means about this quintessential energetic pattern of substance. Yeah. It has its own portrait, its own remedy picture. So the idea of these remedies is that like cures like. And Samuel Hahnemann, who was the founder of homeopathy way back in the late 18th century, he was a medical doctor in Germany, and he was very disillusioned with the medical practice of his day, which was giving a lot of emetics and bleeding people with leeches. And he was just fed up, and he decided to stop practicing medicine, but he had 8 children to feed, so he became a medical translator. And one of the things that crossed his table was a treatise by a Scottish doctor named Dr. Cullen on the wonders of cinchona bark. Now, cinchona bark was discovered in Peru as one of the great cures for malaria in the world. Right. So being an inquisitive mind, Hahnemann took a dram of cinchona bark and immediately started to get the symptoms of malaria, the chills, the rigors, the sweats, right, the fevers. And he said, this is a brilliant mind, of course, he said, something that could create illness in a healthy man could create health in a sick man. So he started to give. He hadn't come upon dilution at that point. He was still working. He could only work with herbals at that point. But he would give herbal tinctures to people, and they would get sick. Or if they were sick, they'd get better. And he started to develop this theory that like cures like. Then 13, 14 years after that, working with a group of doctors on this principle of like curing like, he came upon dilution. And dilution is what makes homeopathy so truly, truly unique and takes it out of the realm of herbalism, for instance. It's the ability to use, if you can dilute something past its toxic levels, you can use anything as a medicine. So we use a lot of spider venoms, we use snake venoms, we use, you know, the minerals are toxic. Arsenicum alb, one of the great remedies for fear, for fever, for flu, for pain, is basically, it's arsenic. I mean, you know, nobody's going to go taking a teaspoon of that if they want to stay alive.
So I find that concept fascinating, that you could take something like arsenic or snake venom, and it would actually cure something. But before we go into the specifics of these remedies, we introduced you by speaking a little bit about our time in the Belfast School of Homeopathy. And what we learned there in that brief time was the fact that throughout the United States, homeopathy was the principal form of medicine for quite a long, long time. In fact, there were specialist homeopathic hospitals throughout the United States. What happened to change all that?
In 1932, the AMA started to close down the homeopathic schools. They started to get very organized, and they perceived homeopathy as a threat to what we call allopathic medicine.
How far do we want to go with that? We have so much to talk about today.
Let's not go there.
let's not go there. Let's just suffice it to say that it's too bad that it was interfered with. But it's still alive and well today, thank God, because,
growing.
Yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful form of medicine. And I particularly, you know, like I mentioned, raising my children, the fact that it has no side effects was absolutely delightful to me as a mother.
That's right. And so, empowering you as a mother.
Yes.
You didn't have to go running to the doctor.
That's right.
Yes.
And
the
fact that it strengthens the immune system as well. Can you talk about how it actually does that?
Well, first of all, the immune system is it's a concept. It's a concept.
Okay.
We call
okay.
it the vital force. We don't call it the immune system in homeopathy. We refer to it as the vital force or the living vitality.
Okay.
And people come in with very different levels of vitality depending upon their genetic predisposition. You know, if you're fortunate enough to meet people who have never been vaccinated, who've never had drugs, who didn't drink, who didn't eat a lot of refined foods, they have, by nature, a very strong vital force, and their kids are strong, and their kids' kids are strong. But, you know, generations of medication, chemicals, you know, the drug generation, vaccines, processed food, environmental toxicity, electromagnetic assault, all that weakens the vitality.
Right.
So you see people who are environmentally challenged, it means that they have very little immunity or very weakened vital force. And we do believe in homeopathy that every time you give a homeopathic, you build that vitality. You strengthen, because you are addressing the vital force. We don't treat hemorrhoids or stomach problems or menstrual cramps or sore throats. We treat the person. And if you treat the totality of a person, you're treating their vitality, their vital force. And the vital force will throw out symptoms. So when you talk about immunity, you're talking about something kind of static. But when you're talking about the vital force, you're talking about a living dynamic. And
yeah,
that
you
living
get a very
dynamic,
different picture.
Yeah, and that dynamic will throw a symptom out. It'll throw, at the mental level, it may throw fear. Let's talk about arsenicum. It has a lot of fear, fear of death and just fear. And very obsessive, can be very, very obsessive. And they can have a lot of pain. They can, and all kinds of pains. So let's say somebody comes to you and they can't sleep between midnight and 2, and they're obsessive about cleanliness and dressed very, very neatly, and they're always counting their money, very worried about money and obsessing about this and that. Arsenicum might be a good remedy for them, and it will address all those symptoms that the vital force is throwing out on every level, physical, emotional, and mental, so that when you treat that and those things go away, then the vitality flows. You know, we are always trying to increase the flow of love and the flow of energy through us. So it becomes heightened, and the more you do that, the stronger people get. I mean, I'm in my mid-60s now. I'm a lot stronger now than I was even as a 25-year-old woman, absolutely stronger in every way. My bone density is stronger. My mentality is clearer. My emotions are more balanced. That's from homeopathy. Years of, may I add, years of homeopathy.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, if anybody would like to see a picture of you, we actually have you up here on the Blog Talk Radio screen, and people can call in on 805-292-0349 to ask Ambika Waters a question. We're here with Ambika Waters, who's a classically trained homeopath. And we want to talk in a little bit about those dilutions, those potencies. We want to talk about vaccinations. We want to talk about all kinds of great things like color remedies and the libido potion that you've developed for women and so on. But before we go there, can you tell us a little bit about your name? I'm fascinated by your name, Ambika.
Oh.
Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes. In 1990, I went to India to meet a teacher named Punjaji, who's known here in the West as Papaji. And I did some healing with him. I had made just beginning to make my color remedies, and I saw color around him and asked him if he wanted to try one of the color remedies. And he did, and we were in this industrial town in the center of India. And so I had to go gather all the stuff to make the remedy and made it and potentized it, gave him the remedy, and his condition cleared up. And he said, I'm going to give you this name, Ambika. In India, they pronounce it Ambika. And I said, oh, that's lovely. What does it mean? And he said, it means universal mother. Now, I'm not one for name changes, but it was my mother's birthday. That day that he gave it to me was my mother's birthday, and my mother had been dead for, at that point, about 10 years. No, longer than that. About 15 years my mother had been dead, and it was really because it was given to me on her birthday that I said, I will take this name on. And I have no children, so it was kind of an interesting thing to be called the Universal Mother. But I love
that. Yeah,
that
is stuck. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes.
It stuck with me.
And,
you know, I hadn't published my first book. So it was a name that I used for my books, and then my friends started calling me that. And, of course, the last people were my family. You know, they still want to call me by my given name. But even they come around from time to time.
Yeah.
Many listeners of this show would have heard us talking about the sound of a person's name and people finding their spiritual names. In fact, Angel Rose, Angel is the Irish for angel, and many people before I met her have called her Angel, which is very, very interesting. So that name is
beautiful,
very significant.
Name. I think the reason I said yes to this show is because of your name.
Because of my name. Well, that's nice to know. Yeah, well, there's a story behind that, but we won't go there because this is a good opportunity. I was fascinated when you said that you made him a color remedy right then and there. So this is a great opportunity for you. Could you talk to us about the color remedies and how they're made and what you do with them? Because that is also a fascinating topic. Go ahead.
Sure, I'd love to. I love talking about the color remedies. They're color and sound now. When I was a first year student in homeopathy, I was at a tutorial. I was in England, in the north of England, and I went to a tutorial, and the homeopath said, you can make homeopathic remedies out of anything in the natural world. And I said, can you make them out of color? And he looked at me and he said, I would suppose you could. Why don't you do it? And I went home that night, and I had a dream about how to do it. There is a brilliant Irish homeopath named Nuala Ising who runs the Barron School of Homeopathy in Ireland, and she had...
I remember her.
Yes, she had done a remarkable remedy made from granite, which I believe Ireland sits on a large hunk of granite.
And I remember her infection.
She was remarkable in that she got the idea through dreams. And I was, at that time, a very lucid dreamer, and it was shown to me how to make these remedies very simply with water, mirrors, and filters, colored filters. So when he said, go ahead and do it, I gathered pure water, good crystal glasses, color filters, theatrical gels, actually. And I put them in the sun, which is the sun in the north of England in December. It's a questionable thing. It was about 4 hours of very gray daylight. And I stuck them, I stuck these glasses, they were sitting on mirrors, and mirrors were tied on four sides of them to reflect the color that came in. I put the gel on top and stuck the water in the quote sun. It was really very gray and rather dismal, and 4 hours later took them out and preserved them. I didn't have any alcohol. All I could use was Polish spirits, 80% proof, put a couple of drops of that in there, and then this tutor, whose name was Ian Watson, a really gifted homeopath, we started to potentize them to see if they had any properties, and we took them up to a 6x, and I remember he put some violet on my tongue, and I had to run to the loo really quickly. Absolutely set my bowels loose. And then I started working with him, and I had two classmates, two fellas came over. We were studying together, and I said, hey, fellas, you want to try a little of the color remedies? And they both said yes. One was married, and he said he had a wonderful marriage and that they never fought, which is kind of unusual to hear people say. And the other was kind of a wrangler type who liked to, he was a mountain climber and a single guy. So I put a drop of pink on their tongue, each one of them. And the guy who was married called me the next morning, and he said, my God, you've got something. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I had a fight with my wife.
Oh my gosh.
It had impacted some level of emotional response, and he had had two patches of eczema on his inner part of his elbow at the crease. He had eczema. Mm-hmm. He said the eczema's gone. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. But I was just a first-year student, a newbie. I knew nothing. So I started asking people if they'd, but did you please try my little color remedies? And people started having all these responses. I was living in the lakes up in the north of England, and I was at the Alexander Technique School studying to be an Alexander Technique teacher and doing homeopathy at the same time. And so I had a group of people who were interested, and they started telling me about what happened when they took green. They had to pee all night, and when they took red, they got really angry, and when they took orange, they felt very sexual, and it just kept going on, but I didn't know what to do with the material. So I went to my homeopaths, and they helped me organize what were called provings. That's how we understand the nature of how a remedy works. And so we started doing provings, and I proved these remedies for 6.5 years before anybody even listened to the possibility that they worked. And after about 6 years, I got really fed up that nobody was interested, and I threw everything into the bin and said, well, I guess that's that. And then I got a call.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got a call from a Dutch homeopathic doctor named Jan Schulten, very famous in the homeopathic world now. And he said, we know you've got something there with color. Will you meet me in London and let's talk about it? I'm coming to do a seminar. And I was kind of defensive and... you know, I wasn't really enthused. It was a bit late. And he said, come on, I'll pay you a train ticket down. You come to the conference, you learn my new method. And so I went down to London, and we were talking, and I said, well, look, I threw everything in the bin. And he said, well, do it again. And all I think was another 6 years. And I said, what? He said, lady, what's your problem? He said to me, what's your problem? Get that chip off your shoulder. So he said, turn it over. And he was right. Get out of the way. Turn it over. So I asked three homeopaths I knew if they would take two or three colors and if they could use it in their clinical practice, which was the best thing I could have done, was to step out of the way. And these three women, God bless them, they gave me a symptom picture for each one of the color remedies that was something I couldn't have gotten on my own. It was... remarkable. There was a case of a woman who was who had severe colitis so badly that they were going to do a colostomy on her, which is a bowel resection, and she was dreading it. And it was about 3 or 4 days from the surgery, and the homeopath said to her, would you be willing to try a color remedy? And she said, I'll try anything. They gave her one drop of red 30C, which is 30 dilutions in 100 drops of alcohol. And all of her symptoms disappeared, and she never had to have that bowel resection.
Oh, that's a wow.
That's a remarkable story. And then I had a case shortly after that. One of the remedies we made, these are the colors, red, orange, yellow, green, turquoise, indigo blue, violet, pink, magenta, and spectrum, which is a rainbow, all colors. Mm-hmm. I had a woman come into my clinic, and she was dying of AIDS. She was in the terminal stage of AIDS, and on top of it had cancer. She was really severely compromised. She had to be carried into the clinic. Her caseworker was one of my patients, and he said, would you just treat her? Now, one of the things about people who are dying is they don't have enough vitality to have symptoms. You have to be healthy in order to throw sick symptoms, and I know that sounds contradictory, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Waning vitality, you don't have enough energy to throw out symptoms. You just sink. And she was in a very sick state. And because we address our cases by listening to that vital force, it was very hard to get a case. It's just a traditional classical case, very hard to get a picture. So I thought, well, I'll just give her a color remedy while I work on this case. So I gave her rainbow or spectrum. I gave her spectrum 30. This woman couldn't do anything for herself. She couldn't clean the house. She couldn't wash herself. She couldn't wash her hair. She couldn't do anything. She was so, so weak. And she'd had a tragic life, a tragic, tragic life. She was in her early 50s. And so I send her home with this rainbow remedy, and 2 days later, I get a call from her, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what have I done here?
Yeah, what happened?
And she says, I don't know what this is, but for the first time in 6 months, I'm able to clean my house. I'm able to shower and wash my hair. Now, if you haven't been able to do that for 6 months, that's huge. And she said, thank you so much. And instead of dying, like she really didn't have much time, she lived another 6 or 7 months. She reconciled her differences with all of her children. She made peace with her family. Mm-hmm. And she left this planet a lot happier than she had been on it. And I saw the power of these remedies to not address the specifics. They are not meant for specifics, but to help expand the field of energy so that people can make wholesome choices for their lives or make decisions for their good or have a couple of extra months and if they're compromised. It was quite a lesson for me. And I've
That's a fascinating story, and all of your work is fascinating. And you're the author of over 20 books. But just let's tell our listeners where they can get hold of those books, and specifically your book on color remedies. We bought that one ourselves. It's absolutely fascinating read. Where can people buy those books?
Well, off my website. My website is linked to Amazon. Amazon carries all my books. But if you go to my website, you can see all the books, which is www.ambikawaters.com, spelled AmbikaWaters.com, or Life Energy Medicine, one word, LifeEnergyMedicine.com. That's my site. And just go to books or products. It's all there, including the color remedies. And
let me tell you how we found out about the color remedies, which made me want to ask you on the program, is we were in Ireland, and I was actually seeing a homeopath for a few things. And when I walked into the office, he was on the phone with a patient who had a son that was having some difficulty. Anyway, making a long story short, inadvertently, he asked me, would I go into this child's Akashic Records, and because he was having a problem.
Well, for those people who don't know, our listeners, Angel Rose is a reader of the Akashic Records and has a private practice, but we also do the group Akashic Records, and you can find a lot of those listed on your website at angelrose.com.
My wonderful advertiser. Anyway,
you're a beautiful team, by the way. You're a beautiful team.
Thank you. So what happened was I had the mother come in, and I was in the office, and she was asking about her son, and it did turn out to prove to be very, very revealing. So while I was in there, you know, her guidance kept saying, she needs yellow, she needs yellow. And I said to Alistair, was his name, I said, Alistair, they keep telling me that this woman needs yellow. And so suddenly he's making up this remedy. He's making up yellow. And I said, you can do that. You can make remedies out of color. And he said, oh, yes, you know. And then he talked about you. And then he said that I'm not the expert. I have another friend who's been working with the color remedies for years. Anyway, make a long story short, we became a wonderful friend of his. And we actually did a few workshops on color remedies with him. And the first time a woman came and she, you know, he was just having people put on the colored glasses, you know. Mm-hmm. And this woman reacted to red with such an aversion. But by the end of the day, didn't it turn up some past life memory that was pretty traumatic for her? But that was a day of such incredible, powerful clearing just with those colors that I just was blown away really by it.
And speaking of past lives, I have to paint a picture for our listeners, Ambika, because the location of that workshop that we did was right in the very, very center of Ireland. If you could imagine it being like the navel of Ireland. In fact, the Irish word for navel is Uisnech. And this was at the base of a hill called the Hill of Uisnech, which is very famous in Irish mythology because it basically divides the four provinces. And you had the four provincial kings coming to meet at the time of the equinoxes every year to light their fires. And so this became a very, very famous practice. So the Hill of Uisneach is a very, very high potency energy point. And it's a place that a lot of people visit when they look for the energy points or the sacred sites of Ireland. And it's one of the places we'll be passing by on our sacred sites trip to Ireland on the 9th of June this year. So if anybody'd like to come on that, they can contact us at angailrose@angailrose.com.
But
the color remedies became the color remedies became very, very real for us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
that's where we had the workshop at the base of the Hill of Uisneach.
Yes. Now, speaking of colors, Ambika, and you mentioned all the different color remedies that you do have. Are there any that are not there in your arsenal of colors? And I'm asking specifically about, say, for example, silver or gold or some of those types of colors.
Well, they're hard to make. Those you can't make from a light source, but they are homeopathic. We have homeopathic gold and homeopathic silver. We have all the minerals and all the metals as homeopathic remedies.
Right.
But what I did do many years later was I made sound remedies, and I found the difference between sound and color to be profound in terms of remedies.
I want to hear about that. Go ahead. I want to hear about this.
So the colors work on the chakras. They are, and I had been doing yoga for many, many years and had written my first books. I've written 8 books on the chakras, and I love the order and what's the word I want to say? Well, the order of the chakras, they are unique, and each one carries its own field and vibration and has its resonance with the gods and has its own field and specific organs of the body and, you know, planets. Those levels of correspondence are very high with the chakras. But the chakras are what we call, they're part of the etheric body, that first subtle body outside of the physical flesh. But beyond that etheric body is the astral field, and the astral field is the mental field, the body of what we call in homeopathy aversions and desires, and it responds to sound. So about 5 years ago, I was up in the mountains of New Mexico in a very beautiful place, very pure energy, and I took some of their natural spring water and had a beautiful crystal bowl and some tuning forks, and I made the sound remedies over a few days, but could only potentize them as high as 6x. The color remedies are potentized 6x to 30c. Some people in Europe have taken them higher, but they shouldn't be higher. They should really remain no higher than a 30c. That's enough to get the field to expand and balance itself. But the sound remedies, I couldn't take them higher. There was just something that said the earth is not ready for these remedies to go any higher. Just keep them at a 6 and use them, because the astral field is very, very potent, and it's very disturbed. The astral field of the earth is so disturbed. Just keep them at 6. So I kept them at 6, and that's what I've got them at now. I've got the entire cord, and then I have one called the cord. I have middle C to high C, and then the cord is the equivalent of, say, the rainbow or the spectrum. And they're very, very powerful. And when given together, the color and the sound, they can create tremendous balance and healing.
Can you give us some examples of, like I know when you were talking about people who were proving the color remedies, they all had their unique responses. But what about the sound remedies? Because you did mention in your book that those seem to have more of a universal type of impact. So could you go into that a little bit with us?
Sure. At the time, I was running a school teaching homeopathy in Chicago, and I had, I think there were 12 students at the time from around the country, and I said, okay, let's do a proving of one of these sound remedies. So we took the note D, which is the equivalent of the sacral chakra, second chakra, which resonates with the color orange, has a lot to do with sexuality, money, well-being, unconditional love, movement, and emotion. So
explains it for me.
Yeah. So we're sitting there, it's about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I give everybody, we do a meditation, we get ourselves as clear as we can be, I give everybody a drop of tea on the tongue. Now, we had only been together as a group, I think that was our second meeting as a group, so these people were not bonded, and they didn't know each other well. They'd only sat through one weekend with me, and suddenly, everybody started to laugh. I don't know who said what, but somebody said something funny, and the whole room just broke out in high giggle. I mean, we were just falling about laughing, and it took a few minutes to realize that it was what this D had created, was this great sense of mirth and joy. We were laughing. We were happy. It was like we'd known each other 100 years. But we were everybody's best friends. And then it came time to go to lunch. And the session before, the month before we had met, everybody went their separate way. Everybody went to their own little restaurant. Nobody went together. Maybe two women went off together. But people were quite separate. All of a sudden, we were like ducks in a row walking down the street of Evanston, which is a suburb of Chicago, where we were located. Everybody walking like ducks in a row. We all headed into Whole Foods. We all got food that was orange, which was interesting.
Wow,
and we all sat at the same table. We were bonded at the hip. And from that point on, when we proved the remedies, it was much easier to prove the remedies because sometimes people did have adverse reactions to some of them, and we were, you know, we were all comfortable sharing. But I tell you, that first day with a D, this is 6-7 years ago, we still talk about it. You know, that memory of being so at ease with one another, so at peace in ourselves, and laughing. I mean, just that great belly laughter that, you know, of mirth and joy, and eating together, just, you know, that feeling, that great feeling.
Yeah,
that
I do.
Came from D. So you give D an orange together.
Would you be using the color and sound remedies for chronic illnesses?
Sure. Absolutely. Sure, for any kind of depletion. They work beautifully. I treated so much autoimmune deficiency disease in England, I can hardly tell you. It was like daily doses of clients walking in with ME and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and just endless.
Anvita, are they the type of remedies that you can buy over the counter, or must they be prescribed individually for a person?
They buy a kit. People buy a kit because I've never been able to make them individually. They're made up by a priest. They're made up by a really remarkable woman who's an Episcopalian priest who is unique in that she's very clean. Her energy is extremely clean. She's been making them for 10 years for me. I love her and I trust her. And one of the things I wanted to tell you about yellow is that it was used, documented case of treating autism. And autism is known to be a disease of the gut. Basically, it's not a disease of the brain, it's a disease of the gut. And yellow is the color that feeds the solar plexus, or the stomach area. And this child healed on yellow, and it's documented by the homeopaths at one of their national conferences. John Melnicek, a great homeopath from Palo Alto, did this case, and I wasn't there, but they told me about it, and I was really thrilled to hear that. That was all that they used.
That is thrilling, because there's so many parents are just beside themselves and don't know what to do with their children that have that.
Yes, that's
that
right.
Is valuable.
And the whole issue of vaccinations, too. Parents are really beside themselves when it comes to vaccinations.
Very contentious area.
Yeah, another touchy subject.
It is, and we'll leave that for another day. But people will want to know how to get hold of one of these kits from you. Can you spell out where they can actually order a kit from you? And again,
from my website. There is a book, Random House publishes it, called Homeopathic Color and Sound Remedies. And
that's the one we have.
Yeah, and you can get the book, and you can get the kits from me. They require a lot to get into a store that a lot of money. They require liability insurance. You know, that would be like $100,000 for 10 remedies. So they haven't made it into the stores, but people find out about them. I've had people worldwide for the past 14 years get a hold of me and tell me many stories, many, many stories. They do have a very nice affinity for kids who have autistic spectral disorder and developmental delay, because they do open the field. But they are not going to cure a brain tumor. Let me make this really clear. They have their limitations. They are not going to cure a brain tumor. They are not going to get rid of cancer. They are not going to get rid of diabetes. But they will open a field so healing can happen. And the way I use them clinically is I will open a field, and then I will go in with the specific, or the similimum, as we say in homeopathy, the similimum remedy that can do the very specific constitutional reorganization. So they are a broad field. This is a broad spectrum that we're talking about with the color and the sound. But when you've got the field open, then you can go in there and really do some great healing. Well, that's my feeling about it. But people use them in different ways. And the people who use them the best are not homeopaths. Homeopaths have got a mindset that it has to be a certain way. Healers are just willing to say, okay, this works, and I like it. And I love that. Right. I do love that. But I am a homeopath, and I have to be mindful that they do have their limitation. And somebody says, well, I once had a woman say, well, I've got a brain tumor, and I'd like to use violet. What am I going to say to her? Yes, you can certainly try it, but it is not going to. It is not going to get rid of it.
So they would require something else.
Absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, something other than the color. Because you do have a comment here, too, about how you would know which potency you would need of a color or sound remedy. But did you explain that with the fact that you can't go beyond a certain potency with either one?
Right. Well, in the book, I've got how you would use them. So you'd use a 6X at a very physical level. 6X needs to be repeated often, 3 to 5 times a day. Let's say you've got something that's upset you, and it's made you tetchy and angry, and you just want to get this little shadow off your heart. Well, you take a 6X of a pink, let's say, and it's gone. It's gone. But let's say somebody dies in your family, and you're really in grief, and you need something deeper and longer lasting. Then you take a pink 30, and you might repeat that a few times once a day over a period of time. You know, it's about degrees. We're talking about everything is spectral. Everything is on a spectrum. And there are degrees of something that's slightly irritating to something that's deeply grieving, and you need to know how to differentiate. And that's basically what we do in homeopathy, is we differentiate.
Right. And that ability to listen to your patients is just the most remarkable aspect of homeopathy. It's what you don't get in a normal setting, that's for sure.
No, you don't.
I want to.
You don't. And
we
devote so much time to our patients. You know, an ordinary session, the first session is usually 2 hours or more. Most people aren't even used to talking about themselves for that length of time. And they're exhausted usually when they leave your clinic because they've just talked about themselves at such depth. And I've even had patients say before you even give the remedy, thank you, you have no idea how healing it is just to have somebody listen.
Right.
Ambika, I'm fascinated by something you mentioned to us in advance of coming on our radio show here. And by the way, if anybody wants to call in, they can use the number 805-292-0349. We're speaking with Ambika Waters, who's a classical homeopath, but you're also a holistic product developer. And you have developed a homeopathic libido stimulant for women, and you're currently working on one for men. You have to tell us and our audience all about that.
I'd love to. Well, about 2.5 years ago, one of my longstanding patients in her mid-60s said she was having painful intercourse with her husband, and it was so uncomfortable she didn't want to have sex anymore. Did I have anything for her? And I said, well, leave it with me, because there are many remedies that do help stimulate libido. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know what would be great would be a cream that a woman could apply internally or on her the soft tissue of her skin, and it could stimulate libido. So I started thinking about it, and then I put together a formula, and I mixed it in a good base of cream and oils, some essential oils, jojoba oil, vitamin E oil, olive oil, and I said, just try this and tell me if it works. So she said, oh, my God, you saved my marriage. She said,
wow,
you have no idea. There's no pain. There's no discomfort. And suddenly, I'm as horny as a young bride. I said, really?
I said, really?
I was so surprised. So I stuck it away in the closet, and I completely forgot about it. And then I got into a relationship, and I thought, well, I think I'm going to need this. So I used it, and I thought, this is fantastic. And I thought, this is so good. I've got to get this out to the world. So I called a friend of mine who's a homeopath, and I said, I need to get this out to the world. Do you know how? And she said, well, try a few people. So she gave me a few people to call and send emails to, and I said, I've got this libido product. It's completely natural and all homeopathic. And this one woman responded, and she said, I have an investor who would like to make this product. So the product got made, and there is one now out on the market, and I've since made a better one, a better product than that, and am looking to get it to a company to manufacture. And I decided it would be a good idea to make a male product. And at the time, I had a lot of men coming into my practice with erectile dysfunction. So it gave me the opportunity to see what men needed and what would help. And there are many reasons for libido, diminished libido and erectile dysfunction, chemical input being one of them. Allopathic drugs will just strip you of your natural vitality and your sexuality. Operations will strip you of your vitality. And hormonal decrease has many, many components to it. You know, we create our hormones. They don't create us. Let's get very clear about it. And if women are embittered and angry, they will diminish their hormonal output. If men are scared of women or irritated by women, they will decrease their hormonal output. But there are also environmental factors. Let's not kid ourselves. That just many, many contributing causes. So that one summer a few years ago when I had all these men coming through the practice, it was really to teach me how to make a male product. So I started with one, and I tested it on about 12 men. And they all said, this is great, especially men, older men in their late 60s and 70s who had had heart problems. The doctors put those men on Viagra. Most men with heart problems are unable to get erections, not because of heart problems, but because of the medications that they're put on.
Gosh.
And so the doctors then make it worse by giving them Viagra, which can kill people. Viagra has been known to kill a lot of men. Don't get me going on that. But so these men were just very thrilled to have something that could create natural erection and sustained their erections and give them very pleasurable sexual experiences without anything chemical. But it wasn't quite strong enough, and it took several weeks to build that level of libido up. So then I thought, okay, well, I'll try another one. And I do my research, and I added a few more components to it, and the second one was even better than the first. And then I just started the third trials about 2 weeks ago with another component that is fundamental to male sexuality that somebody told me about. And put it in. I don't make these up. These are made in an FDA-approved lab, homeopathic lab, called Ohm Pharma, which is in Texas, and they make this up. And these are topical applications. These are not pills. These are put so the women can put the product anywhere on the soft tissue because it goes right into the bloodstream. It's absorbed instantly. It doesn't have to be applied vaginally, but because it's in a base of oil, it can be used as a lubricant, a sexual lubricant, which makes, so you've got this double thing of building your libido and having a natural lubricant. And for the men, I had them put it on their testicles, but I think it's better put on the lower back or the lower abdomen, just because it's, you know, you don't have to deal with pubic hair and stuff like that. So we're working it out now, and we're looking for companies, homeopathic companies preferably, who want to take these products to market and do well with them. And I've also got heightened orgasm remedy. I'm really working in the sexual field because I think what I'm seeing in my little life here in Tucson, Arizona, is that people are so worried about survival that they have forgotten about the pleasures of life, and sexuality being one of the great pleasures the Creator has given us. And without that sense of joy in our body and our joy in life, we are going to become very sour, very diminished people.
Yeah.
There's now this thing called pleasure deficit disorder. Imagine, just imagine another label that we have to deal with. Pleasure deficit disorder, the inability to be orgasmic or have joy or pleasure. I mean, that's terrifying, quite frankly.
I know. Now, these creams, can people get those from your website right now?
No, we've taken it off our website, but they can get the first product that was made is called Pure Fulfillment, and that's for women. And you go to purefulfillment.com and get it from the manufacturer.
Let me give you a little plug here for a moment, Ambika, because you sent us a little excerpt, and I'm going to read it for our listeners because it's very descriptive and it's very, very useful for people to know. You mentioned about Pure Fulfillment, and let me read this. The Institute of Life Energy Medicine introduces Pure Fulfillment, a holistic concept for total regeneration of body, mind, and spirit. Pure Fulfillment's focus is to reanimate health, increase resiliency, and embody sexuality. It highlights the concepts of freedom, creativity, and joy. It is rooted in the flow of love and the ability to live graciously and fully. It is centered in pleasure and the ability to experience heartfelt fun. That's a beautiful...
That is awesome.
Isn't it?
Oh, thank you.
I sure need
thank
that.
Thank you.
I am glad that you read that, Ahanu, and that we're talking about this, because it is something that, you know, we've been on a spiritual path for many, many years, and I have to say, I never hear anybody talking about that. Of all the spiritual things that are mentioned, that never seems to be one of them. And so it is a, you are right, Ambika, it is a problem today. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
You know, with people, and depression is run amok, as you know, too. And, you know, that is the survival thing that we're all being faced with right now, and the fear involved with it, because, you know, even being a reader myself, that's probably the majority of the questions that come to me is, you know, how am I going to survive? What about work? And, you know, you are right. The pleasure aspect is, you know, that seems to be a luxury that you would discuss with people rather than a practicality. And you seem to be making it a practicality, and I'll just offer this. It reminds me of a woman I knew years ago who had the, you know, what's that one that takes the aura of your, not the machines they have in a lot of psychic fairs, but it was the first one, Kirlian Photography, that's what it was.
Right.
And she was saying, at the time I was working for a woman who was selling high-end clothing out of New York, and just as an experiment, we took a day where we all tried on different colors of blouses and skirts and then measured, you know, the Kirlian Photography field. And even that was so, so amazing. But she had made the comment also that about massage. And she was saying that she considers massage almost like a daily or at least a weekly necessity, that it so changed the vital life force energy when they would check it on the Kirlian Photography. And again, it's that whole idea of being touched and being nurtured and, you know, that whole aspect of it, as well as obviously what it does for the body as well. But this is a remarkable avenue that you're going down, and, you know, I'm definitely going to be one who experiments with that.
Yeah, we're speaking with Ambika Waters. Ambika Waters is a director of the Institute of Life Energy Medicine, And her website is lifeenergymedicine.com and ambikawaters.com. She spells that beautiful first name, ambikawaters.com. So if any of our listeners would like to contact her for those libido remedies or the color and sound remedies, can go there. You can also call into our show today at 805-292-0349.
And all her books are available on Amazon.com. And I do want to talk about some of your books, if I may, but I have to tell you this too. While I'm sitting here listening to you, in the trees in our backyard, twice now has appeared a Buddha face. Okay,
oh,
and I've never seen that before. And every time I look back to it, it's the face that is, you know, the eyes are closed and that beautiful, loving, serene smile is on the face. You know that particular image of the Buddha? And I can't quite decide if it's male or female, but it's appeared in two different spots in the backyard. And I'm taking that as a direct message of the importance of what you're saying and how you certainly have earned the name that was given you with the work that you're doing.
Yes.
Thank you so much. That's so lovely.
The one thing that we do want to try and cover today, and you know, we could spend hours talking on these subjects and going down different avenues.
I could talk to you guys for days, that's right.
Yes, absolutely. But we do want to cover this issue of martyrdom. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because it's one of your books.
Well, I had this idea when at about the same time I was doing the cream, to explore the nature of martyrdom, because I had done it in a few of my books on chakras as it's sort of a negative archetype that's related to the second chakra, because it's the inability to allow pleasure into your life. And then I started to take it further and further and really delve into it and look at it in terms of my own history, my history of the women in my family. And at one point, I just decided I was going to go to Israel. I was going to go to Jerusalem, the epicenter of martyrdom in the world for all three major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And by God, I wasn't far off in that assessment.
Wow.
It was a hard 2 months to write this book. And the book was incredibly negative. And I thought, you know, what's the opposite? What is it I really want to say? Who's going to read a book on taking castor oil when they could have candy? And I thought, turn this around. So last year I turned it around and I thought, I'm going to write about pleasure, the essence of pleasure, the spirituality of pleasure, because it's the light side of martyrdom. And I've been working on this book now, longest book I've ever worked on in my life, nearly 2 years. I just sent a proposal into my agent who's in London. And we're calling it Zest for Life. And it does have something to do with martyrdom, but it really has to do with allowing the spirit of sexuality and the soul of pleasure to work in our lives. Because if martyrdom is the inability to allow pleasure, our job is to expand our capacity for more joy and greater pleasure, be it sexual or what have you, whether it's looking out in your garden, and I'm doing that right now. It's a beautiful, we've got flowers out here now, and it's just lovely here in Tucson. It's early spring. Pleasure is everywhere if you allow it to be. And so I took that concept of martyrdom. I certainly learned a lot about it. I must say that the shocks of my life, you know, just the things that could go wrong. I remember, I'll just give you a small example. I was in Jerusalem and I was writing away and I got this email from the woman who was renting my home, and she said, the heating pump has gone out and it's going to cost $1,500. And I went, you know, I got kind of hysterical because I didn't know how I was going to give them $1,500. And there was that moment I was writing about martyrdom, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to lose it over this. It's just money. I said, ask the people if they'll take a payment plan. And by God, they did, and it got paid off. And I thought, since then, I've really learned, don't fall into martyrdom. Don't let these things take you down. Find a way to think about it and deal with it. Deal with it without becoming a martyr.
Yeah, would you, just for myself and the listeners, could you give us a really great definition of martyrdom or examples of that whole archetype in people's lives so they really can get the message of what that whole thing is about.
Well, martyrdom is the need to be right. And the right, and if your need to be right is to prove that you're unlovable, not beautiful enough, not good enough, not prosperous enough, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. To really learn how to love ourselves no matter what, through endless travail, through endless challenges, we grow in our challenges. We develop strength and courage through the challenges of our lives. And we are being challenged now at many, many levels. And it requires a very affirmative sense of entitlement to life. We are entitled to our lives. We are entitled to a good life. I don't like entitlement per se. I think there are many very spoiled, entitled people, particularly in this country. But I do feel that we are entitled to the right to live a good life. And that includes pleasure. That includes love. It includes prosperity and health.
Mm-hmm.
All the noble God qualities are within us, freedom and peace, peace above all. And these qualities, they sometimes need that confirmation that when something is less than whole outside of us, we remain whole no matter what, no matter what. We choose love no matter what. We choose the good no matter what. And sometimes it takes a while to recreate that balance in our lives, particularly if we're sensitive and if we've been hurt badly, to be able to harvest out the negativity, to harvest out bitterness and anger, and to find the lesson, find the joy, and move forward, always moving forward. So martyrdom is a very stuck place. It doesn't move. It's rather rigid. It's rather ungiving. It's rather victimized. And is that where you want to be? I don't want to be there if I don't have to. And believe me, there are many situations in my life that would make it very easy to be there.
Right, yeah.
And it's a choice.
And
it's always a choice.
Do you find that martyrdom is connected to any particular miasm?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a great question. That's one of the best I've heard in a long time. Now, that's a book. You just gave me a great idea for a new book. Well, yes, it relates to all miasms. The first miasm is the soric miasm, which is underfunctioning, and they are the classic martyrs that there isn't enough. They don't have enough life force, enough will, enough. They don't have enough. They are not enough. So turning that one around, turning martyrdom around there is quintessential. And that's really choosing life and seeing the beauty and accepting the pain and the hardship. That's part of life and being able to move forward. And then the carcinogenic miasm, the cancer miasm. Often the very nicest people in the world are the carcinogenic types. And their martyrdom is to life itself. They will martyr their lives out of love for people, out of love for others, and to be able to claim their own right to their own life is how they heal. Because it's, really through God that we heal and that God lives within us. So claiming our right to our own lives is the carcinogenic one. The tubercular miasm, which is always about longing. I'm a very tubercular person, and always longing for God, always longing for heaven or the great universal forces.
Oh.
And that you can martyr yourself easily to that by saying, I want to be out there. I want to be out there. I don't want to be on this earth plane. I want to be out there.
Well,
I want to go home to God.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. That's another form of martyring your life. And then the two others, the psychotic miasm, which is about overproduction, they often can martyr themselves by not finding peace. They are so restless and always out there. They're jumping rope in the street at 3 o'clock in the morning and doing a lot of drugs, and they love the party life. But there's a martyrdom in that, too, because there's no peace. There's no center. They don't know where their compass is, their internal compass. And then the syphilitic miasm, which is about destruction and breakdown, there's certainly martyrdom in that and having given away the life force, giving away the precious gift of life, the drugs, the drink, you know. It shows up in every miasm, but in a different way.
Right. Can you give a definition, a brief definition of a miasm? Because I've been asked that a lot by people. They don't really understand what it is.
Yeah. The miasm is a taint. Miasm means taint in Greek, and it means, to us as a homeopath, it means the genetic predisposition that defines our constitution, and it's usually in America mixed miasm. So miasm goes from underfunctioning to overfunctioning, to destructivity in the body, in the cell structure itself. It refers to the cell structure, but when I explain it to my patients, I say, and I have a lot of plants in my office, I see this orchid. Sometimes I treat the stem, sometimes I treat the leaf, sometimes I treat the flower, sometimes I treat the root. But when I treat the soil in which this plant grows, I am treating the miasm. So the miasm is the soil in which our life grows. It's the soil that sits in our cell structure that will either congest, stagnate, or destroy the cell structure. I think that's
a
pretty good metaphor.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor for the miasm. And it's treated with what we call nozodes, and nozodes are remedies that are made from live diseased matter. And often you'll treat somebody with a good homeopathic remedy, and the treatment will just stop, and it's like you've hit a wall. And so what we say is when the well chosen remedy fails to act, you give a nozode to clear the space. So you're cleansing the soil in which that person. So they can thrive. So that it's all about what you're able to take from the environment, turn into nutrition and food, and that can be at many levels. It's not just physical food, but these ideas that we're talking about here today on this radio program, they are food too for the higher mind.
They are.
And the ability to break that down and take it in is a form of assimilation. All health is about assimilation. You can put all the calcium you want into an osteoporotic body, but if they can't assimilate it, it'll just be pissed out. So about the ability to take it in at the physical, emotional, and mental level, and spiritual level. So clearing the miasm lets us do that.
Yeah, it makes me think, too, of, you know, emotional things that people go through and how often those aren't assimilated. And, you know, to me, that's a huge problem for people as well. And I know for myself, I'm sure you could have a field day with me. But I do want to switch gears here, if I could, only because we're getting toward our last 10 or 15 minutes. I need to ask you about your nature healing oracle. And the reason I want to is because I have such a strong connection with nature. And if you could just talk about how that, because interspersed in all your books, you have all these wonderful books on the chakras that I know people who have your angel cards, and you talk about angels. There's just that one thing that I'm finding there on nature. So can you talk to us about that?
Well, yes, I can. The book was published on 9/11, and it really fell through the cracks. So it never really got an audience, but it was a great book to write. And it was published by Canary, and the whole idea was that everything in nature has a metaphysical counterpart. It has a healing counterpart. And how a simple geranium, which can be a beautiful flower in your garden, can create a beautiful essential oil that can lift your spirit, can create a metaphysical resonance with joy. You know, that's the beauty of nature, that she runs through every vibrational state between substance and our creator. I mean, from divinity to substance has a resonance with gods and goddesses, planets, concepts, noble concepts, healing oils or homeopathic remedies or Chinese herbs, to the very flower that you put on your, you know, in your windowsill. And I love that resonance.
Right.
I love that everything I look at in my garden can heal me. When I first came to Tucson, I'd come from California. It was hot, and it was dry, very dry. And the only thing I had growing in this garden of mine was cactus. And cactus is a remedy for a heart condition. You have to think that anything that can survive in this dryness and heat, any plant that can survive, has tremendous vitality. So I started to get palpitations when I came here. I just was getting these thumping, whopping palpitations. And I thought, oh, my God, what do I need? And I went out in my garden, and I cut 9 variety of cactus up, boiled it up, and started giving myself the tincture. And within a couple of days, these palpitations simply went away. They just simply disappeared. And I know that I know the power of these plants. And one of the things, my hobby is I collect remedies. Some people collect china. I collect remedies. So I'll read about something and I'll buy it. And I've got a very vast pharmacy that I just, you know, I just love looking at my remedies. And when I was a teacher, I used to take my students to the botanical gardens in Chicago and here in Tucson. And I'd say, look at this beautiful little carnation. Well, this little carnation can do this, 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 and that. Or look at this cactus and understand that it can stop a heart attack right on the spot. Or look at this mesquite tree or this pine tree. Everything in nature has been given to us for our healing. And the great Archangel Raphael, if you look at the pictures of him in the old literature, there he is with the great book. And the great book is the book of plants and what these plants can do for us. And I think the beauty of homeopathy today is that the great homeopaths of the world now are finding out the capacity of the periodic table of elements, for instance, to be a map for the evolution of human consciousness, and that these are remedies. I mean, I study that on a regular basis. But I really love looking at the beauty of a garden and realizing everything in it is made for healing. I'll tell you one quick story. I had a patient with persistent diarrhea, and it wouldn't go away, and it wasn't responding very well to remedies. And I had just read that red rose petals, dried and desiccated, could stop diarrhea. So I had just the end of the growing season, and I had, maybe a cup full of rose petals, red rose petals, and I dried them in my dehydrator, and I ground them up, and I said, do you want to try these? And she said, sure. It stopped her diarrhea. And I love that that came out of my garden. You know, there's great mystery in nature, but I think that people have been exploring these mysteries for thousands and thousands of years, and it would really, really help us all to know that she is a great healer. It comes through the divinity. Right. The divinity comes through every plant that has not been compromised with pesticides.
Well, Ambika Waters, you are a vast depth of knowledge. There's no doubt about it. And you mentioned you had a vast pharmacy there, but it's that depth of knowledge. It's like you carry that vast pharmacy in your own head. And not only that, but it's apparent from the way you speak, your enthusiasm, that you embody that zest for life that you speak about. And it's a joy and a pleasure to have you on the show with us today. In the last few minutes that we have, you did say to us at one point that you worked in the angelic realm. And can I say before you answer that we've covered today quite a lot, a vast array of subjects like homeopathy, healing, sexuality. We've covered the color remedies, the sound remedies, and miasms. And tell us just a little bit about your work in the angelic realm.
Well,
we need another hour here.
Well, you know, it says in Torah that there is an angel for every blade of grass. You couldn't tie your shoes. Carolyn Mace once said, you couldn't tie your shoes without the help of the angels. And I do believe that we are guided and directed, and that we live a spirit-driven life. That's what we're here to evolve to, a spirit-guided life in every way. And knowing that we have our angels, we have our radio angels, we have our homeopathic angels, we have our medical angels, we have angels about us in all ways. And right now my new book that I'm writing is for kids. It's for teenagers, about why angels come to Earth and how they can learn how to negotiate this Earth plane and still keep their divinity about them, in a whole way. Mm-hmm. And I'm having so much fun writing that book. It's just
how
these
do
kids
you find the time, Ambika, to do all your writing and run a full clinical practice at the same time. How do you manage that?
She has energy.
A full clinic of practice. I work 2 days a week. I have a very limited practice of no more than 30 people. That's it. And that's how I can do my best for people. And I love writing. It's a real antithesis to dealing with sickness and pathology, and it brings me back into that divine joy. And I just love it. You know, I'm a single woman. I don't have kids. I don't even have pets about me anymore, which I miss. But I write, and I love to travel, and I love to write and develop products, and that's what I do. It's my joy.
It seems to me, Ambika, that you've such an arsenal of remedies, and as you mentioned, a vast pharmacy of remedies. And you've written a lot of books, which is one way of getting this knowledge and this much needed information out to people. But I'm sure many people would like to know, is there other ways that they could learn from you? I mean, do you do webinars or do you do workshops?
I used to do a lot of them, and I have done a few webinars, but no, not really, not at the moment. But I will. I think that once these sexual products get manufactured, I will be the voice for them. And that feels like my mission at the moment, to talk about intimacy in a very whole way without shame or guilt. That's what I would really like to do. And
That's fantastic.
I get these products into the right hands, then they will go forward. And I'm assuming that opportunities to speak will evolve. At the moment, I'm speaking to very small groups of like 8 to 12 women about, you know, these intimate issues, and I would certainly like a man who could speak about the male part of these products, because men don't want to listen to a woman talk about their sexuality. I know that. It just creates too much interference and transference. So I do think this is where I will step into speaking more publicly and working with people more publicly. But at the moment, it's a quiet phase and a reorganizing phase, and I need the quiet and the solitude to figure out how to move forward with these products.
Right.
It's a whole new way of working in homeopathy and a whole new way of me being public. I used to do a lot of workshops on the color remedies, and I've run schools for homeopathy, and I do like working with the public. But right now, I just need this quiet phase, and I'm sure that an opening will come, or an invitation. Sometimes it's just an invitation to come and speak, you know, that's what it takes.
Right.
And I'm happy to travel and happy to meet new people. But right now it's a kind of that, that passive place before something
else. I do, yep.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at right now, and I invite invitations to come and speak or invitations to do a workshop. I love having fun with people in that way, and I have a universal heart for that.
Right.
So,
but you do, because the Buddhas are in my trees, so.
I'd love to come back to North Carolina. I'd love to meet you
beautiful
folks
here
one
too.
Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And indeed, Ambika, we have the console lit up with people who want to ask you questions, but unfortunately, they've left it very late.
Oh,
no, we've only got 1 minute left, and I'd really like to give out Ambika's website so that they can contact her and get hold of her books. It's Life Energy Medicine. That's all one word, lifeenergymedicine.com. So before we go, Ambika, let me just mention to our listeners that you are you're a homeopathic consultant, you are a holistic product developer, and you're the author of 22 books on healing. And you work with angels, write about chakras and archetypes, and you're currently exploring the soul of pleasure and the spirit of sexuality. You have developed a homeopathic libido stimulant for women. You're currently working on one for men. And, I have to say, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show with us today. We've felt that zest for life from you.
And we're going to have you on again, because I didn't realize we had all these
callers waiting on the line, so we're just going to have you on again. And hopefully we can meet you someday soon. Maybe we should get in that car and take a trip to Tucson.
Well, do you know, as a child, I've always wanted to visit Tucson, Arizona, because to me it was the place where the cowboys were.
That's right. Yeah. It's a great town. Well, come and visit, and let's connect, because I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak from my heart and the opportunity to share my knowledge at a very, very deep level. Thank you so much. You've created a wonderful vortex for people.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ambika.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.